first met Lee Daniels when he directed a movie called Precious. It was a remarkable character study about a discriminated against woman and all the hardships that she had to face. It was a very difficult film, and it was a film that's also based on a beloved character. People are obsessed with the book Precious, and it was a big challenge for Lee to take on. I've also been with him at the Cannes Film Festival when he had a movie called The Paperboy that, again, was very controversial. Zac Efron urinating on Matthew McConaughey. It was quite something. Actually, I don't think he urinates on Matthew McConaughey, but that's the kind of movie it is where you can't remember exactly who urinated on whom. Most currently, the movie that he directed, starring Andra Day, who's not known for acting, who's known for singing, is The United States versus Billie Holiday. Again, he gets an incredible performance out of Andra Day and made an exquisite film that talks about all sorts of interesting issues, drug addiction, fame, bisexuality, the government, that become the hallmark of what Lee Daniels does. One, two, three, four, five. Questions with Lynn. Questions with Lynn. Okay, so this is the brilliant Lee Daniels, the brilliant and beautiful Lee Daniels. So the way my podcast works is it's five different things. The first thing is a person in your life that's had a lot of resonance or meaning or has been important to you for one reason or another. Who would that person be?
My godfather, Skip Bundy, who is still alive. He was my mother's best friend, and he was gay. And I didn't know that he was gay. My father didn't like him at all. And he was an incredible dancer, an incredible choreographer, probably, I think, as good as Baryshnikov, if not better.
Was he a ballet dancer?
He was a jazz dancer, ballet dancer. He was in the arts. He pushed me into the arts. And even to this day, we never discussed his gayness, but it was spoken. He came from a generation where it was never spoken about.
What's your first memory of him? When did you first meet him?
I just remember Christmas times coming along. I have five siblings, as you know.
Uh-huh.
And he would come along at Christmas time with these just one excessive gift after another. And he came and gave me, when I was 7 years old, a fur coat. It was fake fur, but it was a full-length fur, fake mink coat.
I love that. And did you think you were fabulous?
Yes, it was instinctive. I mean, come on. I mean, who gives a seven-year-old boy in West Philadelphia a fake fur coat at seven?
I love that.
It was very telling what he thought of me and what, you know, where I was going in life.
Are there photos? I hope there are photos.
Sadly, there aren't any photos. I think my father loathed the coat. So I'd slide in it when he wasn't around.
Did he try to teach you to dance?
He did teach me to dance. Everything I know from just an artistic point of view is based on him. Yes, he did teach me to dance. Oh my God, he took me to Philadanko, Philadelphia School of that's where he taught too. He taught there. That's weird. Thank you for asking the question, Lynn. He took me to 63rd and Market. There was the Joan Myers Philadelphia School of Dance that turned into Philadanko.
Wow. Well, you've got some moves. I've seen your moves. So clearly, clearly there was some resonance there. Do you know if he's seen any of your films?
He's very proud of me. He's speechless when it's with reverence. I gave him, I was on a Zoom for his 80th birthday, and I told all of his friends that he is the reason that I am where I am right now. He whispered to me that, you know, I was special. And I don't even know what was those words, Lynn. It was just that I can't explain it. He was like my fairy godfather, but he was my godfather. Yeah.
Fantastic. I love that. All right. So the next thing is a place that has enormous importance for you. What would that place be?
A very special place to me is Jules Catch One, which was a club on Crenshaw and Wilshire when I first moved to Los Angeles in my early 20s. And it was an all-Black gay club. And I remember Patti LaBelle and Madonna and just acts coming in and singing. And it was an all-Black club. We couldn't get into clubs I tried so often to get into clubs in Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood, and the white boys wouldn't let us in. And so I don't know how I found or discovered this club, but it was magic. I walked in and there were nobody. It was like the best music in the world. It was just before AIDS hit, and it was intoxicating. It was just, there was two floors of just massive dance room floors, just the best music in the world. And it was the equivalent, I would imagine, to Studio 54.
Wow. So did you get dressed up to go there?
Every Saturday. And Wednesday was men's night. So Wednesday was when men's night, and then Saturday was, you know, the line was around the corner.
Wow.
Ava DuVernay did a documentary, I think, about it recently.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Catch 21, yeah.
Was it all disco or was it different kinds of music?
It was just on the tail of disco right when house was beginning.
Fascinating. What was your go-to outfit for this evening? What would you wear?
You know, you could never be seen in the same outfit. There was no go-to outfit ever. But at the, I guess the same jeans, uh-huh. The same jeans, you know, you just had to change it up.
And this is when your moves came in handy, I'm sure.
Absolutely. My moves came in handy, and my, depending on the mood that I was in also, the handkerchief, whether it was the right pocket or left pocket, depending on the color, and the poppers, Lynn.
Yeah, the poppers. Well, I'm glad that you have that memory and have had the poppers. I'm glad that you can even remember anything. And was this, what time did it start? Like 11 o'clock at night?
No, it started at, well, I guess it maybe it started at 11 o'clock. You didn't bother to get there though until like midnight.
Wow. That sounds so fun. And how long was, what happened to it?
The city finally closed it. They really couldn't understand why she was making so much money. It was an incredible place. It wasn't just a, that's why Ava made this doc about it, but it wasn't just about the club. It was also, they were servicing the community and servicing a lot of people at that time because of AIDS. And so Jewel, who was the owner, a lesbian woman who's wonderful, was helping the community. Crenshaw, right there at Crenshaw in Mid-Wilshire area.
Did you ever work as a DJ? You would have made a great DJ.
Lynn, I really wanted to become a, as a matter of fact, I still have DJ equipment in my New York storage. I can't play the piano and I can't DJ. It's a secret fantasy of mine.
You would be an amazing DJ. I think
that's what I think too.
I think you would be incredible. You've got the voice, you've got the spirit. You would have
Do you DJ?
I've never DJed.
Ben, let's do it together.
Yeah, let's be DJs together. That would be so fun. I would love that. My sister was a DJ. She was really good.
Really?
Yeah, she was really good and very serious about it. But you would be amazing.
I seriously fantasize about DJ.
I love that you have the equipment. We can just go do it. It'd be perfect.
Well, I think mine is way outdated now. I mean, I'm sure I can sell it. I mean, I spent a lot of money back in the day and I just put it in storage because it just required two hands thinking at the same time.
And you had this whole directing career.
Mm-hmm.
This whole other little thing you were doing.
Trying to, yeah.
So the third question is an inanimate object, and it can't be DJ equipment. Something that meant something to you or means something to you that's a movie or a book or a teddy bear or something that's not living. Although I will let you have a dog if you want to have a dog.
You know how I feel about my dog.
I know.
I feel about my dog the way you feel about your dog.
I know. That's why I said you can have a dog.
Okay, but I'm not going to talk about Jigs. I'm going to talk about Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella with Leslie Ann Warren. I'm going to talk about that as the thing that sort of, what does this thing represent exactly?
Just something that was very meaningful to you.
Yeah, I was in North Philadelphia at my cousin's. My mom and dad were separated for a little bit, and we were trying to figure life out. We left West Philadelphia to go to North Philadelphia, and I stayed in the projects, public housing, for a little bit with my cousin, my first cousin. And I had four siblings, and they were three, so that was eight of us. In one room, our parents would go out. My mom was going out on a Saturday night. Cinderella popped on the television, and then they had a bunch of mice on the floor. I remember the mice vividly running across the floor and us throwing things at the mice from the bed, from the pullout bed in the living room. And
real mice. Real mice.
Real mice on the floor in the public housing, and Cinderella was on. And I just remember thinking in that moment, I think I was 10-ish. And I remember thinking in that moment that I was going to be, this wasn't the life for me, that I knew then that I was called to do something different than being in that tenement, watching the mice. And I wasn't looking at the mice like it was a bad thing. You know, it wasn't really like it wasn't disgusting or anything. We were just, I remember the mice being magical for Cinderella. Yeah, they're just equating those magical mice to the mice that were on the floor and waiting for my Prince Charming to come along.
And Prince Charming was played by John Davidson? Who was played?
No, not John Davidson. He was also the same guy that was on General Hospital. I think he's still alive too. Yeah.
Well, Leslie Ann Warren's still alive.
Yes, I just spoke to her a couple days ago. She's a good friend now because it's crazy. She came in to audition for Selma when I was going to.
Really? What was she going to play?
Yeah. I don't remember. I don't know.
But did you remind her that you'd seen Cinderella? Of course.
I think she saw it in something that you wrote about it.
Exactly.
You might have written about it and she was so blown away by it.
I did write about it. That was in a piece that I wrote about you, Lee Daniels. I believe the woman Precious was on the cover of the magazine.
I believe you're right.
That was the hardest thing I've ever done in my career.
Why?
Well, it doesn't seem like a big deal now, but it was very difficult to get Precious on the cover of the New York Times Magazine.
Listen to me, Lynn. That's because you have always been ahead of the game. Ahead of the game. And what's so funny is what we take for granted now is something that you were... I can't believe you're saying that, but it does make complete sense. Why wouldn't it be? Something I take for granted, you know, what you and I both do, what I do,
exactly.
I know, is we're constantly changing culture. And when you're changing culture, you're at the forefront of it. You're not aware of it until it's over. And then you think, wow, what the hell? You're just doing your job.
Well, come on, Lee. It was hard to get Precious made, wasn't it?
Really hard. That was really, really, really. That was, yeah. It's hard to get all my movies made, Lynn. The Paperboy, Butler, Monsters. Every movie I've ever worked, even Billie Holiday was the hardest thing. I mean, it doesn't become hard anymore because I'm used to it. I'm used to, you know, the studio executives of white men telling me that they don't want to see it. And then I'm sort of used to it by now. But that doesn't stop me.
No, and that's...
It doesn't stop you either, Lynn.
And I read recently somewhere, you talked about somebody wanting the part who was...
Taraji P. Henson.
Taraji.
You've been keeping up with me. You're so funny. I love you. I don't even read my stuff, but clearly you...
I just couldn't believe Taraji, and you were like, she's trying to lose weight. And did you say, okay, you're going to have to gain like 50 pounds?
I just looked at her like she was crazy. Like I remember thinking to myself, this girl is freaking crazy. Like, you know, how can she actually think that she can play her? But after working with her in Empire, I sort of see why she's so bold. But that boldness really worked for Cookie. What did you do it? How did you lose it? Was it true? Do you remember? Were you confused when you thought you knew? Now you see through it. You can tell her.
So now you have to think of something in your life that you thought was like the worst thing that could have happened that turned out to be a really good thing.
Well, yeah, I think I remember having a conversation with the studio about whoever was doing Selma when I was attached to direct Selma at the time. And I don't know who I was talking to, some English company that had the rights. And I had done all this research, poured myself into King and really knowing the nuance of King's life and Bayard Rustin and how instrumental he was to King's journey. And they didn't want that story told. And I remember thinking to myself, I was just sad that they didn't want the story told. I did a pass on the Selma script. This was with Hugh Jackman attached to it and Liam Neeson was attached to it and a whole bunch of people. And it was my version of Selma, but it was very, very truthful to the account that took place. And whatever the studio was at the time, whoever, I think that they still ended up doing it. They did not want that version. And someone very powerful told me, don't tell the story. If you tell that story, you'll get into a lot of trouble. And I walked away. I was really sad about it. It really hurt my spirit. Uh-huh. And but I did Paperboy instead, and I fell in love with that movie. I took all that energy from I took King and spread him all around the set of Paperboy.
I loved Paperboy. You know this. And I was in Cannes for the Paperboy premiere.
Lynn, do you remember that standing ovation? Do you know that's listed as one of the longest standing ovations ever at Cannes?
It was incredible. And also it was part of the reconnaissance. That was, you put Matthew McConaughey in that film. And he's, shall we say, tied up in the movie.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yes.
I was talking about that today. But yeah, that was a...
That was radical. Radical.
It was out there. It was bold. And I loved those.
And Nicole was incredible.
A tour de force in it.
Yeah.
Tour de force.
No, I put her in Best Performances, and she always credits you with changing her life.
Oh, that's kind. That's very kind. She really changed my life, too. I mean, it gave me... All of those actors reminded me that, you know, it's about the work at the end of the day. It's about the art at the end of the day. And it's okay that other people won't understand you at the end of the day because your art lives on forever. And at the time, though, we got 17 minutes of a standing ovation. I walked out of there to the worst reviews of my life. It was horrid. And I never felt so little. But now people, some of the biggest directors and name actors come up to me and say, that's my favorite movie. So how many years later? It's crazy.
It's a fascinating movie. I mean, it's so strong. And the thing that's so great about you is the degree to which you commit. I mean, you're so committed to that film. You're so deep in it. You can feel that.
I haven't seen the movie since that night. Since that.
Really?
Since that, no. Oh, God, no. You crazy? I, you know, no, I haven't.
What did you think? What did you feel during that 18 minutes? 18 minutes felt like
it
longer.
17 or 18 minutes. I remember there was just no more tears. There were no more tears left in me. And I got up and I left and I came back and people were still, I left the room, Lynn, and I came back and they were still clapping.
Yeah.
I went outside, smoked a cigarette, Marlboro Light at the time. And, and came back in and they were still clapping. And it was crazy.
I'm amazed they let you leave. They're so, you know, they're so strict in Cannes. It's not like they let people out of that palais.
I ran out.
We miss all this right now, don't we? I miss this so
much.
Oh
my God. I wish that Billy was there. You know, it would have been so much fun. It's perfect for Cannes.
Would have been amazing in Cannes.
Yeah.
Would have been amazing to see you guys on the red carpet in Cannes. That would have been incredible.
All them black chocolates, the beautiful skins and the beautiful dresses and such, and the men's and such.
All right, and so now the final question is a purely joyous event in your life, purely joyous.
Well, they're split. Can I split?
Sure, of course.
They're both equal, and I hate to say this. I mean, I can't say that the adoption of my kids would equal me and the reception that I had at Precious. They both are joyous to me equally for different reasons. And the kids decided, we were the first same-sex couple, Billy and I, to adopt in Pennsylvania. So that was a really big deal for me. And just knowing that I had them and I have them.
And they're great.
Aren't they? They're the best. You know, well, you saw my son recently.
I saw your son because my dog was in a commercial with your son. Yes. and your son got more attention than the dog, which is okay. I'm okay with that. I've lived through that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. You know, and she's named Zora. She's named after Zora Neale Hurston. So she's...
Love.
Yeah. Okay.
I love it.
Yeah.
And then Precious, you know, for obvious reasons, it was a big deal at Sundance for me. I'd never experienced that before, that kind of love in the room, and that forever changed my life. It changed who it was that I am right now, I think.
And Cannes was a big deal for that movie as well.
Was it a Cannes?
Yes, it was a Cannes. Okay. I saw it at Cannes with you.
Oh, right, Lynn. But was it at Sundance first?
It was at Sundance first, and then Cannes took it. And then I think it was at every festival known to man.
I was looking at a picture of myself, and what I would say to myself back then, you know, I was looking at a picture of myself at Sundance with Monique and Mariah and Lenny. And I was looking at the picture and I don't even know that guy anymore.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Why do you say that?
So many movies ago, it's who it was I was then. I've grown so much.
You have, but fundamentally, I think you're very similar. I mean, in the best possible way.
Well, you've known me from the very, you've known me from the beginning, so you would certainly know. Well, I just feel like I've changed.
I think you always have the same spirit. You know, you're always so passionate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look at the picture and I know where my headspace was. Yeah.
Were you scared?
Terrified. I remember walking up and getting my award and an unknown number came up. And that unknown number meant that it was either a drug dealer or it was either somebody with money that was looking to invest money in my films. At the time, there's somebody who had unknown numbers come in. It was Oprah calling me to tell me how much she loved the film as I was going to get my award as I'm walking up. Who answers the phone? Who answers the phone walking up to getting an award? Man, what's wrong with me?
Well, it's good that you did because it was Oprah and not a drug dealer.
Yeah, right. Thank God I'm not doing that anymore.
Thank God. Thank God for that. Well, yeah. I love that dichotomy. I love that it's either a drug dealer or Oprah. I think that says it all. Do you want to say something nice about Billie Holiday for me, please?
Oh, how much I love her and how I am so happy that I got a chance to tell her, speaking of drug dealers, how I'm able to just sort of tell that story. I was just thinking about it too, Lynn, that I feel so good that I was able to, that Billie is smiling in heaven because her story is finally told and told so brilliantly by that wonderful actress, Andra Day. So I know that she's really happy for the first time that there is closure to her story and how important she is to the civil rights movement.
And the song, because the song's not in Lady Sings the Blues.
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Yes, but it's not. It doesn't ring the same way because it just doesn't. It wasn't punched. We didn't understand exactly. Most people don't realize that the song was in Lady Sings the Blues because they didn't punch it the way it should have. But yeah, it's in.
I didn't realize Strange Fruit was in there. That's so interesting.
Yeah, and you're rarely wrong. How about that?
I'm rarely wrong, and I'm dead wrong. All right. Well, I love you, and thank you for talking to me. And have a wonderful time at all the award shows that I won't be at.
Big kiss.
Big kiss to you too, and to the puppy.
All right. Bye, Lynn.
Take care. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to Five Things with Lynn Hirschberg. I would like to thank the Crosby Hotel in New York City. Thank you so much to Julie Fontaine. I'd also like to thank Michael Beckert for all of his help and patience. I'd like to thank Sarah Moonves, who makes everything possible at W Magazine. I'd also like to thank Robin Shore for her brilliant theme song. And thank you to Rich Cerbini and Matt Solomon at Hangar Studios. To view more W Magazine content, please follow us on Instagram at WMag or check out my screen tests on W Magazine's YouTube channel. And I'd also like to thank Zora. La 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 la.